believed in fairy tales and princes. He believed the voices coming from his stereo. He believed in rock and roll. She left her past and those lily white fences and headed out to Hollywood in search of a soul. But she had to pay the toll. Yes, she did. They were bound to find each other. He needed proof, she needed a brother. That's when stars collide. When there's space for what you want and your heart is open wide. Wait a minute. He gave up women for the stripes of the road and learned the meaning of grace. That's when his cup overflowed. And she said,
hello.
He said, my faith keeps me from willing, but you know that I'm able. And if there's some room, I'd like to sit at your table. She said, it's tight, but I think I can fit you in. This kind of love don't come from a prayer. Ain't talking rebound, born of despair. Yellow sun rising on their bodies in bed. Two people in love with nothing but the road ahead. He believed in jazz, rhythm and blues, and this thing called soul. He believed in rock and roll. Him, she wanted to see her name appear on the big screen. He just wanted to hear her scream his name. Can you scream my name? Do you know what I mean? Ain't talking rebound, born of despair. Yellow sunrise, bodies in bed. Two people in love, nothing but the road ahead.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, April 16th, 2017 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And I just want to let folks know that the current draft of the PDF that I type up for these shows, the current draft is number 677. Just in case that man in the middle drone puts it on hold, want you to know. Also, I have posted that PDF now to the Prince's Song page, which is a new page near the top of the blog page under my son's beats. You see Prince's songs that we discuss in the shows. So you can access the PDF. The most recent PDF draft of the show, both on the blog page where it's always been, as well as through the Princess Songs page. You can download it there as well. Sisters and brothers, I've been struggling, as did, I'm certain, Prince, with a dilemma we turn over and over again here. Call it Socrates' dilemma, we have been. Of how to present the truth of our trapped lives under class, that the system in managing us stunts our development. How do we present the facts of the abusiveness of class such that we recognize it as the most important issue of our day and age? An issue that can no longer be handed off to future generations. And granted, this dilemma is to a very large degree a function of intensive repression, isolation, and elimination of authentic dissent, that which demands an end to force in our human interrelationships, as well as the suppression of needed information. What was done to Nikola Tesla, and with his inventions, most significantly, and what these folks have orchestrated secretly. But let's set that aside for the moment and focus on the truth the body speaks. How do we present the truth of trapped lives, what our bodies are screaming at us, underclass, such that more can see it? And what role does perceived scarcity play in this, i.e., that it is convenient, we think, at times, not to see it? How, for instance, how do we wend our way through the following statements, weave them into a solid and coherent argument that cannot be denied even now, and that shines bright its light to freedom? Quote, and these are a series of quotes. But when Odysseus met some common soldier bawling still, not wanting my comment, not wanting to suffer, hurt others, and possibly die for the causes of his so-called betters. But when Odysseus met some common soldier bawling still, he drove him back. He swung upon him with his staff and told him, go back, sit down, listen to better men, unfit for soldiering as you are. Weak sister, counting for nothing in battle or in council. Shall we all wield the power of kings? We cannot, and many masters are no good at all. Let there be one commander, one authority, holding his royal staff and precedence from Zeus, the son of crooked-minded Cronos, one to command the rest. And that's from Homer, who wrote thousands and thousands of years ago. It's unsure exactly how many thousands, but before Plato, that's for sure. So let's say 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Not much has changed, has it? Anybody's been in the military, or a father who's good enough substitute, or mother, can recognize that. That little diatribe. Anyway, that's from Homer's The Iliad, Book 2. So how do we weave all of these statements together? Homer's Odysseus, and then, quote, as long as we live, we want a chief or chiefs. And I think that means, that's Proudhon, we want to serve, advance humanity. But we'll be thinking about that. But, continues Proudhon, once a man's mind being formed and his education finished, which I think confirms the knowledge he was born with, he becomes the associate of his father, and his true chief and his king becomes the demonstrated truth. Now that's a grown-up. That's what we all aspire to. That's Proudhon. Another from Proudhon. Thus, in a given society, the authority of man over man is inversely proportional to the stage of intellectual development which that society has reached. And then include with Proudhon this statement by John Trudell. Human beings under class lost the perceptual reality of being free. That's sort of a paraphrase. They were owned. And then from our March 26th show, the state exists to block our social thought process. So how do we weave these statements together into a strategy that does not require multiple generations to flower into freedom? When Prince says and shows us that we don't learn freedom by words alone, we learn by being shown, and that resistance to class begins with taking our bodies back. When Proudhon says and shows us that we become associates through our intellectual development, when intellectual development is a matter of call and response, intercourse with the earth, nature, the earth within and without, and expands to the degree that our access to truth expands. And we see that there is critical to our advance to freedom, critical suppressed truth that we need to hear for our intellectual development. This means that we must, as we said in our April 4, 2017, no stream fill-in show, we must boost it up. All those who struggled with Socrates' dilemma eventually came to the issue of education as key to moving forward our entire human society by advancing incrementally, multi-generationally. Though Prince is the significant exception to this notion of incremental advance, because we don't have that kind of time. So the issue is reaching enough young people now that the system can't reproduce itself. Do you see what I mean about Prince's strategic precocity? I heard no one say that my entire life. And that has been his MO his entire life. I never heard any political analysis of that. Before this show began, we were listening to Emmanuel Wallerstein. He did not apparently recognize the political, that as a political strategy, that is the only political strategy that is going to be effective given the circumstances we face. And I think we recognize that in theory, if we ever get to talk about it or think about it, which we don't, but we haven't recognized the importance of that happening within a single generation because we haven't understood or known about power strategy of making the canvas clean, starting making sure each generation has no knowledge of how they plan, the fact that they exist as a global elite, dependent on us not passing on what we know from one generation to the next. That means we have to interrupt that process or we don't get to freedom. It's that straightforward. And reaching young people abused by class essentially means unfreezing frozen hearts and minds. The frozen misery of centuries is how Christopher Fry put it. Who could do this but Prince? Not just because of his gifts, but because he knew what he was doing. Do you feel me? Just like Shakespeare said, you gotta know what the difficulty is in order to get around it, get past it, solve it. It's easy then. And it would have been had he had the help of all of us, which is helping ourselves. Prince called this strategy deconstruction in The Rainbow Children. But before we'd read The Rainbow Children, we'd been giving the name DMSR. To his method and strategy. Those letters stand for dance, music, sex, romance. But if we incorporate, which is clearly incorporated in The Rainbow Children, if we incorporate dissemination of the knowledge of the abusiveness of class, if we incorporate dissemination of the knowledge of the abusiveness of class, the discussion we've been having here, into that method, the strategy we could call demobilization of system resources. We needed Karl Popper to show us that the totalitarian ideology proliferating around us has its roots in Plato. We needed Alice Miller and Martin Bernal to show us how fascist totalitarian ideology is communicated to the children through fear, such that totalitarians coerce or win the support, quote unquote, of their children in continuing to implement and reproduce it over the generations, freezing thereby their hearts and minds. We needed Pierre-Joseph Proudhon to show how intellectual development breaks the hold of authority, obedience, force inherent in the project of child rearing. We needed Nikola Tesla to show us the necessary infrastructure for breaking the structural hold imposed by tyrants, the Plato's tribesmen of atomization, and to help mobilize us with the truth of his suppression by these tyrants. We needed our good three, Terence K. Hopkins, Giovanni Arrighi, and Emmanuel Wallerstein, the authors of anti-systemic movements, to show that you cannot fix the state, that power is global, and that so must our resistance be, including that resistance that is the physical reclamation of our bodies. We needed Prince to break the hold of fear by proving the truth of the eternal, of love. And we're going to be talking more about that proof. We needed Prince to break the hold of fear by proving the truth of the eternal, of love, a truly supreme authority, the source of knowledge, and to provide the music that supports, helps us make conscious the political implications of and internalize the lessons from our process of physical reclamation. And to provide as well the strategy of deconstruction of the system, of class. All play their part in solving Socrates' dilemma, the millennia-long problem of class. The assumption fascists make about children, because this was done to them, their slate was wiped clean, is that children are blanks. That's why they want each generation to stay like children, so they can form them any way they please. That children are blanks, lumps of clay to be shaped any way fascists please, but they are mistaken. Children come with their missions that need to be supported. Instead, they find themselves under class, locked in its totalitarian family system and then totalitarian education, ranked throughout, told to prove themselves throughout, and have no access to the suppressed thoughts and ideas they need to believe in the knowledge they were born with. This is where we come in.